Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to welcome you to our service. Well done for getting here. The weather is not with us, but we are, the Lord is with us. So that's all we need. So welcome. And yeah, I think if we could have Psalm 23 on there now, please. And can we all read this together? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Wonderful words there from King David, probably 3,000 years old or so. But, you know, can we really believe that? I think we can. And I think we should believe that God is our shepherd. Therefore, we have everything that we need. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do some actions. Our hand signs for the New Testament. There they are. To remember what they are, let's do them all together. See how far we've gotten. We're adding another one on, which is counting the cost. So we go counting the cost. Counting the cost. That's today's thing, all right? Okay, so let's start. Greece language. Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost. Okay, shall we just pray together now? Let us pray. Before we do that, there's a short quiz. Remember, count in the cost. Jesus said we had to count the cost. Well, just to get us in the sort of frame of mind of thinking about cost, I just want us to guess how much these things cost. So the latest mobile phone, I think it folds in two, so it's nice for your pocket. What price is this going to cost, do you think? Somebody give us a figure.
Too much?
It is too much. I agree with you there.
£900.
Well, I think any advance on £900? I don't think I'll be getting one of those for a little while yet. Okay, and what's next? Oh, yes, we have this Tesla Tri-Motor Electric Cybertruck. Stainless steel body, heavy duty, all electric. How much? 50? You're optimistic. 100? 5,100? bit more, Mo. This is a real one, not a model one. It looks a bit like a model one, doesn't it?
75
for Bridget. Oh, Bridget is very, very close. She's been looking these things up, no doubt. Okay, let's move on. More my style now, I think, is coming. Heavy-duty galvanized wheelbarrow. Not stainless steel, galvanized this time. A fairly modest figure, I feel, this one is. 75? Well, I think we can get it for 42. If you look on the computer, but I would have gone for 75, Rosemary, I have to say. But Jill's got 42, so there we go. Several of those for the truck. Takeaway pizza. See who's in the pizzas now. 25, you go, Bruce? 70? Oh, you have nice pizzas. 24 for a nice big pizza. Takeaway, obviously. Fish and chips. Nice as my scene. Fish.
£10.50.
£11.50.
£10 these are, look. Don't reckon you get many on this career. Yeah, I get a lunchtime special on a Tuesday, but it's kind of an old people's one because I can't. And that's only £7.60. Wow, there we go. Fish and chips. You can't beat fish and chips. Ice cream. Now, this is on a day out. You know, this is not, do you count the cost for me? You just have, I have to have it.
£3.75.
£2. I'd go somewhere in the middle. £2.50. Oh, well done. £2. You cannot beat a whippy ice cream. It is just wonderful. Okay, so just a few things to let us thinking about the cost of things that we may take for granted, we may not. And we if my whole family was with me and we were in an ice cream van, I would be counting the cost. But if it's just myself, I just don't count the cost. I'm worth it. Okay, I think we better take our hymn books now. So I wonder if somebody could read this for us, please. Thank you very much, Bridget.
A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand."
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you. Okay, so we see there that a large crowd was following Jesus. Jesus was very popular at this time, and you know, why wouldn't he be? He healed the sick, he exposed religious leaders as hypocrites, and he taught with wisdom and authority. So there is lots going for Jesus here. But Jesus knew that most of these people were kind of here for the show and not the long haul. They'd like the free meals and not the difficulties. And so Jesus was telling them to count the cost and only come and follow him if they were committed to him. And actually, it takes quite a true and confident leader to say these things, doesn't it? You know, Jesus was giving an upfront warning to the people who were following him that there was going to be a cost to being a disciple. There's no annual membership fee, but Jesus had to be number one in your life. And in many countries today, Christians are persecuted. Following Christ wholeheartedly has a significant cost. Many lose their families, their place in the community, their livelihoods, their reputation, and even in many cases, their lives. In comparison, what do we have to be worried about? You know, a little bit of teasing perhaps, people thinking we're a bit kind of around the bend. You know, it's nothing compared to what some people have to pay. We've got an old memory verse which goes something like this. We all read it together. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Good stuff. Thank you. So love the Lord your God with all of your heart, it's saying. It doesn't say love the Lord with what's left over after you've loved your wife or your husband or your family or your neighbour. It's not the give God the bit that's left over that you can just squeeze out of the end of the bottle sort of thing. No, it's love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And so that is quite something different, isn't it? There's those hobbies and things which we want to give time to. And we need to get them in the right place and the right perspective. But, you know, when we give Jesus all of our love from all of our heart, love comes back from Jesus that we can share amongst each other then. You know, it's not that we're empty. If we give all our love to God, it's not that we're empty of love after that, because God fills us with his love, and then we can love those close around and even those in a distance as well. And so we see that there was that word hate there, wasn't it? And I think that word hate in this context means to love less in comparison to the love. So it's not actually meaning hate as we understand it normally. Jesus is not saying we should hate anybody, but the difference between our love for God and our love for others should be so big. It is just a huge, big gap. And it's kind of like hate in comparison. And so that's what Jesus is saying there, I think. So we mustn't get too worried about that. But Jesus is not an add-on extra for our lives, you know. He's not here to enhance our life that we're doing. We are to allow Jesus to have a full takeover of our life so that he is there as number one. Number one in our lives, which is his rightful place. And Jesus goes on to say, and he says it in all the Gospels, I think, if we love our life... But if we love our life and we want to be God in our life, you know, and there's the bill going through Parliament before very long, is this probably this week, is it Friday this week, to say that when we can kill ourselves if we're in a certain place, that's kind of being God in our lives, I think, isn't it? You know, we're not saying that God has that prerogative of when he takes life or gives life. We want to take that in for ourselves. And so we want to be God of our lives. And there's that old song, you know, you might hear at funerals, I did it my way. And it's much, much better to say we've gone God's way. Because God has designed us. God has made us. And he knows what's best for us. And so we need to be thinking, yes, I want to give my life, put my life into God's hands, because my hands, well, they're not great, are they? You know, we don't know everything. We struggle so often when we might have a good day and then we have a bad day. And so we need God, who is consistently good, to be in charge of our lives. There was a man called Jim Elliot, a young missionary, who died a martyr's death around when I was young, I imagine. But he'd written in his diary, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. So he gives away things he can't keep. So his life, he's thinking, I'm not in control of that, so I'm going to give that to God. And he does that to gain something which he cannot lose. He gains eternal life because he knows that when God gives a person eternal life has obviously got to start now and be off forever. And so he gives his life to gain eternal life. And Jim Elliot did lose his life, but he gained so much more because he had eternal life. If we let our lives be controlled by alcohol or drugs or lust or something of that nature, you know, we just to have a good time, our lives are going to be short. Our bodies aren't designed to deal with those those poisons, basically, all the time. You know, our bodies are amazing, and they take a hit, but they can bounce back so often. But they're not designed for constant constant abuse, and it will take us out. Galatians 5 kind of illustrates these things. We've got that on the screen, Galatians 5. Could somebody read this to us, perhaps? Somebody. Thank you, Bruce.
So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things.
Thank you, Bruce. And so we see a clear difference here when the Holy Spirit is in control, when we give our lives to the Holy Spirit, we give them to God. The fruits of that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And yet when we let our sinful nature be in control, we see those other things there, don't we? Start sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. It's quite a long list there, and he taps on the end, other things like these. You know, the difference there, when we give our lives to God, he will produce love, joy, peace, and those things. But when we're in control, our sinful nature, it goes the opposite way altogether. And there's that verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Should we just read this together? So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with all of you to give our bodies. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So the Apostle Paul has given us this sort of thing again. He's saying, give your whole bodies to God as a holy and living sacrifice. That's the way to do it. You know, it's everything we give to God. And then God takes control, and God produces the love, joy, peace, patience, etc. Okay, so let's just go off down a little, I was going to say a rabbit hole here, but this is not quite a rabbit hole. It's more of a sheep thing. If you want to control sheep, you need a carrot or stick approach, really, you know, possibly both. The carrot is a bag of cake. And there he's calling his sheep, and the sheep come running because they love cake, and they will run and maybe even knock you over when they get there because they're so keen to have the cake. Whereas a stick approach, well, there's the dog. He's chasing them. He's getting them in the right direction. He's getting the stick up there. And the problem with a stick approach is that when you've got little lambs around, the sheep are extra protective, and they might go for the dog as well. And the dog knows this, and the dog generally runs away at that moment because he's no match for a big angry sheep. And so so it doesn't always work. So the carrot and stick, you know. But you know, as I say, the carrot approach is fine until the sheep knock you over to get at the food, and so it's all a bit tricky. And we want to move sheep around just to help them, to check they're okay, to give them some medicine, to bring healing into their bodies, to keep them healthy. And so we, as you know, we keep sheep at home, and we have a sheep handling system. There it is. And so the sheep will come in down a sort of funnel into this sheep race, and then they can weigh them. And at the end, there's a clamp, and that can hold them tight, and then we can just grab their head and give them some medicine, give them injection, grab their feet, look at their feet, and do various things to them. But the sheep will be wrestling away and trying to get out of there. They do not want help. They just do not want help. And it'd be so much easier if the sheep would just come along and say, oh, yes, is that some medicine? I'll have some of that, please, because I need a bit of that. But they don't. They're always fighting. They want their own way. They say, no way am I going to let you look at my foot. And they wriggle and they kick and they go, "But no, and I'm just wanting to put a little bit of healing spray on their foot." But they want to go their way. They don't want the help. And Isaiah, I think it is, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. So often we don't want help, do we? We want to do things our way. We don't want to go God's way, because that is described some places in a narrow way. We feel we're going to miss out on life, but that's not true. We need to see our good shepherd and go and follow him, which is where our hymn is now, 1008, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green." King David recognized these things, that God, life was good when God was his shepherd, when he followed his shepherd, when he did what the shepherd wanted him to do. He knew that life was good. And so let's sing this. We've read it. We've read a version of it anyway. Or we read the Bible version. Now we'll sing this modern version. And so if only we would follow God's word and follow God's way in our lives, our lives would be so much better than letting ourselves, our sinful nature, control our lives. So we need to let God be in charge, accept his ways. He is a good shepherd and knows what his sheep need. Another couple of verses I'd like to bring to our attention is Matthew 16. And perhaps somebody could read this one. There's only one screen here, I think. Thank you, Rosemary.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?"
Yes. So these few phrases, I think they're in all the Gospels. And so it's really important, therefore, that we take note of them. Giving up our own way, you know. We just thought briefly there about the sheep wanting his own way. He didn't want that medicine. He didn't want help to check he's okay. He wants to go his own way. And yet, Jesus is saying, if anybody wants to be my follower, he must give up his own way, take up his cross, and follow me. But just thinking briefly about giving up our own way, hanging on to our own life, I just want to tell you a little secret. I never wanted to be a chicken farmer. I really didn't. And I had my eye on big shiny tractors. And when I left school, I went down to Taunton every day and drove, one huge tractor, but it was a sometimes shiny tractor, which was definitely bigger than my father's tractor. And, you know, but you think about those big, shiny tractors you see. or driving around, you know, what could be better than being in charge of all that power, you know? And you get the computer screens these days in them, of course, several screens you can get. But you're out there, you're preparing the land, and then you're growing the crop in nice straight lines, and it's coming and looking great. And then a lovely sunny day comes along, and you harvest this bountiful crop in glorious sunshine like we've had this year. And then, you know, this car stops and they say, oh, thank you so much for growing food for us. It's such a wonderful thing that you're being such a great farmer, growing us food, because it's difficult to live without it. Well, the nearest I could get to that was to take what was on offer. What was in my hand? There's that phrase. God asked Moses, what's in your hand? And he says, well, it's only my staff. What can I do with that? And he throws it to the ground and it turns into a snake. Well, that's pretty impressive. But what was in my hand staring me in the face? It was chicken. And so I took it on, and yes, I produced food for others. And yes, they even say thank you sometimes. It's wonderful to be thanked for a nice chicken. But that was my little story. My dad actually was quite similar. He didn't want chicken either. He wanted to work with cattle, but it was only chicken that was available for him. And so God was very gracious. He gave him a verse, Psalm, I don't know what Psalm, 91. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall he trust. And my dad saw that as a sign that, yes, you go ahead with these chicken. That was God telling him, come this way. And so kind of both of us gave up our ambitions in favor of what God put in front of us. And you know, we go God's way. And whilst that may be a bit of a silly little illustration, you know, it's slightly getting there perhaps. But that phrase, carry your cross, means to die for yourself. You know, if you imagine somebody in that situation in Roman times, you know, they're carrying a cross. Romans are making them do that. They're not doing this voluntarily. They're carrying a cross and they're just walking towards where they're going to be put to death. They have no option about this. They are being made to do this. And all of their, you know, they haven't been, if they've been on death row, they haven't, like, you get this nice meal said before you get your execution. There's none of that into that at all. Carrying your crosses, there's no good things about that whatsoever. It's a walk of shame. The Romans are in control of you, and it's going to your death. But we see when we're in control, when the sinful nature is in control, we go downhill. And that's not good for us. It's not good for our bodies. It's not good for the people around us. And yet when we give our lives to God, then he can produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And so who is first in our lives? What relationship is most important to us in our lives? And it should be God. So our next hymn says this very clearly to us. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.